Hello, how are you? This is Irony Singleton, a.k.a. T-Dog from The Walking Dead, and you are listening to the Walking Dead Girl Podcast. Yeah!
Hello, everybody. This is Jasmine.
And this is Michael.
And I'm The Walking Dead Girl. In this podcast, we review and discuss the hit TV show The Walking Dead from AMC. In addition to reviewing the TV episodes right after they air, we sometimes have interviews with special guests. You are listening to episode 35.
If you want to give us feedback on the show, you can send email to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com, or you can leave a comment on our website, thewalkingdeadgirl.com. We routinely read feedback and comments on the show.
Currently, we're reviewing Season 3, Episode 15, and it's called This Sorrowful Life. Before we get started, I want to remind you guys that we will be discussing every gory detail about the TV show, so obviously there will be spoilers. So make sure you watch the current episode before listening. I'm sure I don't have to tell you guys that anymore.
Well, someone was commenting that, well, you don't do spoilers. Well, when we refer to spoilers, we're talking
about the whole episode.
The current episode, spoilers of the current episode. So we don't talk about future episodes.
Honestly, I don't think we need to say that, but I know, Dad, you need some confirmation and some...
Hey, we could have new listeners. And if you are a new listener, welcome to the show.
Welcome. I'm Jasmine. I'm kind of crazy. And this is my father.
And
he's pretty okay. He's average Joe here.
Wow. I've been promoted to average. Wow. I feel honored. Jasmine, you were just saying before we got on the air, like, should we tell people about a certain event that's coming up?
Oh, yes.
It's your birthday.
Yeah, my birthday's coming up, and I'm going to be 17.
Wow.
The big 1-7.
So you'll no longer be the 16-year-old prodigy podcaster.
No.
Now you'll be the 17-year-old.
Less fresh, I guess.
Less immature.
Yes. Less immature. There we go. But then I'll be less of a special, because I'm like, oh, she's almost our age. Well, I don't know how many people... They're probably in their 30s or 40s, so I still got a ways to go.
We have no idea how old our audience is, but we would like to think that we have all kinds of people, young and old, listening to us, I hope. And this episode we're reviewing right now is kind of a depressing one a little bit, but not so
much.
Some
would say it would be a filler, but I don't see it as a filler.
Here you go again.
I'm just speaking for others.
I'm glad others have a voice in you, Jasmine.
Yes, they have many voices, and only I can hear them.
And I'm glad that you are representing people who think that, but I think it's a very great episode. First of all, as we've said in the past, every episode is dedicated to some person, right? I think this one is kind of a Merle episode.
Uh-huh. I think this is the longest we've ever seen Merle in an episode at one time. Periodically, because we usually, Merle doesn't really have any main, scenes or roles, but in this episode, it was just like, all Merle.
All Merle all the time.
Mm-hmm. And they usually do this for, and I think I mentioned this before, but they usually do that for characters that they're about to kill off. They have an episode or two right before their death where they redeem themselves or they reach their, their climax of their character.
Yes. And I guess they like doing that on The Walking Dead because no one wants to just get killed off.
Yeah.
Like a piece of meat.
Only cheesy zombie movies do that.
Well, there's a lot of B players in this in The Walking Dead that actually just get killed off just like that.
Yeah, like in The Woodbury People.
Yeah. Like, for example, we lost... who did we lose again?
We lost Ben.
Oh, we lost Ben. Oh, no.
Oh, Ben!
Alan's son.
Alan's son, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, now you're admitting that he's his son. Thank you. Finally, till his death, then you realize... No, that's his son.
Yes, his son, which is looks like a 20-year-old, is.
Hey, no, he's a teenager.
Alan looks like a 30-year-old.
Oh my gosh, that's true.
So I'm just saying,
Alan
they're
is
so
just
close.
Young looking, okay? It's because of his blue eyes and blonde hair.
I mean, look at me. 20 years. Look at me. I look like I'm 20, and I'm actually 80. So there you go.
Oh my god, you've spoiled everything.
So Merle. So let's talk about from the top. We see Rick in the opening scene. We see Rick in the cold open talking to Merle, Daryl, and Herschel. What is he? Actually, he's not talking to Merle.
Just Daryl and Herschel. Yeah, he's basically telling Daryl that, oh, we're exchanging Michonne for our freedom, basically. And initially, we see Daryl not really agreeing with it, but he's going to do it anyway because he respects Rick. But he also says that he needs Merle's help. He needs someone to help him. Because I know for a fact they're not going to be able to be the ones to, you know, capture Michonne and take her. So he needs Merle's help.
Mm-hmm. And what did you think about Daryl's reaction to Rick saying, oh, I'll talk to him by myself? It was kind of weird there.
It was weird because initially you would think that, oh, Daryl will be the one to talk to him.
Yeah, because Daryl knows
it's his brother, right? He knows how to talk about it. But I think, I don't know. I guess Rick feels like it's his responsibility. I mean, he doesn't want to send his henchmen to go tell his other henchmen that to do something. You know what I'm saying? He'd rather tell him himself because that's the least he can do. Because he doesn't look like a coward saying, no, you go tell him. I don't want to tell him.
So, but Daryl didn't kind of accept it right away, though.
No, he didn't.
He looked, he had the
hair.
Because
he had a kind of a.
He had a face.
Yeah, he had a face. Yeah. He kind of, I don't know if it was prevalent in this season, but he has kind of a good connection with Michonne. Well, I mean, regular terms.
Yeah. Well, no, I think
Carl has a better connection with Michonne.
I don't think it was because he has a connection with Michonne.
It's just the right. It's the wrong thing to do.
Yeah.
In general.
And I don't know if he, but we see that how the relationship between him and Rick is growing.
Mm-hmm.
Because he agreed with Rick, right? He just jumped on it. Because
again, this is a Ricktatorship.
Yes, and we'll see at the end that changes.
So after this, I think he told Herschel. So Herschel's still a little. Because I haven't seen this in a while, I thought Rick wasn't going to go through it. Like, Herschel convinced him not to go through it because he said, I want you to convince me otherwise. But Rick still says he's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is that? Even after all that Herschel said and
on the previous episode?
Yeah.
Because it's still Rick's still the leader.
And he That's still why. Believes in the sliver of hope that the governor will actually give him his freedom, the group's freedom, like, not attack them.
I don't know if he really believes it. I think he's just trying.
I wouldn't believe it.
I think he's just, you know, trying anything he can at this point. I think Rick in this episode had reached rock bottom.
Yeah.
And we see why he is who he is in season 4, which we don't want to spoil, but this is kind of the lowest of the low that he's been. And that all comes to head in season 4, where he kind of changes.
It's like once you hit rock bottom, the only way you can go is up.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they say about drug addicts.
It's either rock bottom or death.
Or an alcoholic, so.
Yeah.
But this can be completely different, though. And so he goes to Merle.
He goes to Merle, and he asks Merle for help to, you know, take Michonne and say, we need to give her to the governor in exchange for our freedom. And I expect Merle to be on board because he's used to these kind of things. But he said, wow, I would never think, Rick, in a million years you would do that. He said, you think he's just going to kill her? No, he's going to take her out of her eye, maybe both eyes, and torture her, you know?
So we have a clip on that.
Yeah, so let's roll the clip.
Just looking for a little vacation. Best dope I ever had was in a mattress. This place must have been no fun at all.
We need your help. Do you even know why you do the things you do? The choices you make? We give the governor Michonne. Woodbury stands down. I don't like it, but it's what needs to be done. We need to make it quiet. We need your help with that.
You ain't told any of the others, huh?
Just Herschel, Daryl, and you.
The inner circle. I'm honored. You know, when we'd go out on runs, he'd bash somebody's skull, slash somebody's throat, and say, never waste a bullet. And I always thought it was just an excuse. You go on. Give him that girl. He ain't gonna kill her, you know. He's just gonna do things to her. Probably take out one of her eyes. Both of them, most likely. You'd let that happen for a shot. Whew. You're cold as ice, Officer Friendly. You're gonna need wire, not rope. Wire, nothing she could chew through. You know something? You're right. I don't know why I do the things I do. Never did. I'm a damn mystery to me. I know you, Rick. Yeah, I thought a lot about you. You ain't got the spine for it.
We need to get her to the governor by noon.
So, I really like this scene because, like I said, I didn't expect Merle's reaction. I thought he was going to be all for it. But then again, kind of completed my prediction because he did say, well, you got to use wire so you know it won't chew through it. So it's like he's been through this before. And I like the part where he said, oh, I mean, I'm part of your inner circle. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I'm kind of with the top secret information here.
This is, yeah, he was being sarcastic. And he was just saying that he was just kind of, you know, Merle is smart and he's, you know, cynical and all that. And he can see through people. And
he can see through Rick. He knows he can't go through it.
Yeah.
And he knows it doesn't make sense because just for a sliver of hope, you're willing to sacrifice her life.
Yeah. And he brought back his famous Officer Friendly comment.
Mm-hmm. And when Rick asked him, why do you do the things you do? I think Merle was being really honest when he said he doesn't know why he does the things he does. You know what I'm saying?
He's impulsive.
Which is kind of scary because it's like, how are you existing? You don't even know why you're existing.
Well, he you know, works on a lot of his impulses. Like, he acts on his impulses, which a lot of people don't.
So do you think he knows what he's doing then? Because, you know, well, it's kind of it's complicated. Because, you know he's doing it.
Yeah.
But he's not really, he doesn't hold himself responsible. I don't know. And then Rick goes to the rest of the group. And after he talks to Merle and basically he sees everybody really kind of setting up for the impeding war. Because everybody else doesn't know that the deal was to give up Bashone. So they're acting like, you know, they're going to fight, you know, laying out some kind of spikes, you know, and pointed wood to kind of slow down the governor's vehicles if they ever come in. And Rick's like, oh, this is a good idea. Who's done this? And Daryl says, oh, Michonne. It was Michonne's idea. And that look kind of told me, like, see, we kind of need her. Okay. And I know he wouldn't come out and say it, but, you know.
Yeah, so, you know, see what kind of an asset she is to the group.
Yeah, and I think that kind of like put the guilt trip on Rick there, saying, oh, wow.
And you're going to go
now
sacrifice.
I feel like crap.
You're going to go sacrifice her.
And then we have a scene after that where Merle is still in prison, looking for something to escape his pain, I guess. He was looking for drugs in the little mattress, and then he was now he's looking for some whiskey. And Carol says an important thing to him, so ask him, what side are you on?
Yeah.
When the governor comes here, are you going to join with him or are you going to side with us? Because Merle's like, oh, I'll just be with my brother. I'm like, well, your brother is with us. So are you with us?
Yeah.
Basically, you got to choose sides. Not time for drinking.
And I know, again, this is kind of leading to season 4 stuff, but without saying anything, you kind of see Carol in that scene, how she was in season 4 in one other scene with Rick. Like, she goes, you got to choose. You can't just be on the side, you know? You know what I mean?
Foreshadowing.
She had the same kind of attitude, like
Kind of like one or the other. There's no gray area.
You can't sit on the sidelines. So,
she has that can-do attitude.
Yeah. And, you know, Merle noticed that. She's like, you're not the,
No, you're not the same, Carol.
Little mouse.
You know,
hiding from her shadow.
Yeah. And he says, well, the shadow was my husband. You know, saying, now we're done with him. I think I think that death was the most beneficial death to the whole group. Carol's husband, Eddie. What's his name? Eddie?
I don't know.
He doesn't deserve a name, that bastard. That was the best thing that ever happened to Carol, I think.
Walker ate my husband.
Yeah. Because that's probably the only person on the... Well, people in that situation, that's the only time where you'll be okay with the death of your husband or wife. Because it wasn't your fault. And she needed to go. That's so bad.
Yeah, and another line was, he goes, you're a late bloomer. And she goes, maybe you are too. Meaning that, you know, maybe you can turn to something better than what the piece of crap you are now. Then there's a scene with Daryl and Glenn.
And Daryl is asking, you know where Merle is? And Glenn's like giving him the, I don't care about Merle face.
Cold shoulder.
Yeah, and then, you know. Then Daryl tries, you know, to stick up for Daryl and say, you know, Merle. Oh, my God.
Daryl sticking up for Daryl.
Daryl's sticking up for Merle by saying, you know, he didn't mean the things he did. He said he was sorry, and I think he really means it. And
No. He said, did Merle say he's sorry yet? Because he will.
I thought he said he did say sorry and that he meant
No, he's like, did Merle say sorry yet? Because, you know, he is. Like... Well, he didn't say sorry.
Okay.
Basically, Daryl's kind of...
rooting for him.
Yeah.
Kind of like getting him in the goods.
Yeah.
And but Glenn is like, he locked me up, strapped me to a chair, and left me for a walker.
Wah, wah, wah.
Dad! If you were in that situation, you wouldn't want people saying that. And
take
then...
the wambulance. Okay, fine. He got beat up and stuff.
Yeah, okay, a little bit. And he said, and then he humiliated Maggie. And I don't even care about myself. It's what he gave Maggie to a man that humiliated her. You know what I'm saying? He's like, I'm not even mad at for myself. I'm mad for her.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you can't do that, dude. That's breaking bro code.
I guess. What do you know about bro code?
I don't know. There was no real code.
So Daryl couldn't say anything to that. He just walked away, right? He's like, yeah, I guess you're right, huh?
Yeah, Daryl's having a trouble, you know, convincing Glenn that he's good, all that good. But how does Daryl know that Merle's good? When has he ever been good? He left Merle when he needed him. You know what I'm saying? He went off to the army. You remember that?
He's wishful thinking. He's hoping that, because it's his brother. He's sticking up for him.
But still, just because he's your brother doesn't mean you get to take crap from him, okay? You either put him in his place or you drop him. That's what I would do.
Blood's blood, man. That's all I know.
Not if it's poison blood. What if he was a walker, okay? And would that still be your brother?
No, of course not.
But he's still your brother.
That's silliness.
Exactly.
That's silliness.
Yeah, I know. And then in the next scene...
Well, Daryl actually goes to Merle.
Yeah. Talk to him. And he hears a little shuffling. He's like, Merle? And then he's like, hey, little brother. I'm just going to holler back at you. This exact quote. I remember that quote. I don't know why.
Well, because it was a lie.
Yeah. He was trying to hide from him.
Merle was hiding stuff.
Yeah. He was trying to look for some meth. Quote, unquote, looking for some meth. But really, he was looking for some wire to tie up Michonne.
Dun, dun, dun.
Spoiler alert. And they have this really intense talk about, you know, what kind of person Merle is and how Daryl wants Merle to be good again. Or again in his case, but I'm like, he's never been good. And Merle was like, I thought Merle was almost going to cry when he said that something along the lines, like, nobody likes him. Like, everyone here look at me like I'm Satan or like the devil.
Yeah, they look at me as like I'm the devil.
And he almost kind of choked up on that. I mean... That shows that he really doesn't want to be bad. Like, he really isn't as bad as he thinks. I mean, yeah, sure, he's done bad things, but it doesn't mean he doesn't carry those weights. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Daryl is torn between two families, kind of. He's torn between Merle and he's torn between Rick because he respects Rick and that group has done a lot for him. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of almost replaced Merle, a better version of Merle. Not even Merle, because Merle can't even be like that. Like, Rick, man, can't do that. So... He's kind of torn. He wants Merle to be in his group with him, but he can't. Merle will never be in this group.
So it's, I think at this point we can get into, well, we can see if it's the last end of the show, but basically we need to talk about the kind of the relationship between Daryl and Merle,
mm-hmm.
like how it's been before the apocalypse, during, like at the, like season one
mm-hmm.
level, and then now how it's evolved. Because I think
Daryl would have done, because Merle says Daryl would have done the same thing that he's done if he was in his position with the governor. He's kind of saying that he's kind of trying to make a stab at him, saying that, you know, we're both the same, that you're my brother, you were like me, you would just be like me. But he's not the same anymore. Since they separated, he's kind of grown away from Merle.
Yeah. Daryl's evolved.
And then in the next scene, we have Rick. I don't know what he's doing. He finds a piece of wire, like a piece of cable, and he's wrapping around his wrist. Do you remember that, when he sees his wife? This is when he's outside the prison area.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're talking about Rick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's tying this rope or this kind of wire around his arm, and I'm thinking that he's trying to look for some wire to tie up Michonne. But then we heard from another source that he was doing it to punish himself.
Yeah, we watched the behind the scenes kind of Andrew Lincoln talking about the character, and he was saying that he was wrapping the wire tightly around his hand, even tighter and tighter, so that he can punish himself or something, hurt himself.
Kind of like an emo stage. I thought he was just testing to see how tight he can tie the rope for, like, Michonne. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you can see the battle on his face, that he's battling between whether he should go through this or not. And one thing that's I like about Merle is that he can read people really well, and he totally read that in Rick. You know what I'm saying? That he can't go, he doesn't have the spine to do it, quote unquote. And then he sees his wife, and she's still pregnant, you know, the wife.
On the bridge.
Yeah, on the bridge, yeah. The catwalk. And I think that's when you said that that's what you would call his lowest point.
Yeah, his breaking point.
His breaking point, because I think he realized that if he goes through this, Lori, his conscience, will continue to invade his mind for the rest of his life.
Yeah, he can't live with it.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a warning saying, you know, don't do it. And I think that at that point he resolves and says, you know, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to go through this. I'll just take my chances. And then he goes to back inside the prison to talk to Herschel. And during this whole part here, when he's like going through this process and seeing Lori, Herschel's reading from a
scripture
from the Bible.
Yeah.
And I think that went really well
with his daughters.
Mm-hmm. And then I think even Herschel realized that he can't go. He can't let Rick do this. He says, to his girls, is like, what I wouldn't do is to keep you guys alive. Basically, he would be willing to kill somebody else. And he realized that's not what he should be doing. So he goes to Rick and says, you know, we can't do this. And Rick's like, I'm already two steps ahead of you. We're not going through with this.
Yeah. He says, I can't and I won't.
Yeah. And it's too late. It's too late. Okay. Because Merle already took it upon himself to take up Michonne. He said, oh, we got to clear some walkers in the tombs, in the catacombs, and bopping her in the head with a gun, taking her out and then tying her up, because he knew that Rick wasn't going to do it. And he ties her up and basically puts a bag over her head and takes her out. And then that's when Rick and Daryl realize, hey, Michonne and Merle are not here. And then they put two and two together. And Daryl says, I'll go out and find him. And then Rick says, I'll come with you. He's like, no, I'll do it on my own. And so he goes out and tries to get them. Now Rick feels like crap, okay? He's like, dang it. Just when I feel like I'm going to do something right, it's too late.
Yeah, because now he can't take it back.
Mm-hmm.
His mind has been made up for him by Merle.
This is what happens when you're indecisive.
See what I'm telling you?
I knew you were going to say that. That's why I say that. I said that.
It's kind of a inside joke here, because
I'm really indecisive.
Yes.
Moral of the story here.
You're indecisive, and I told you, you know, you should just make decisions. Whatever they are, good or bad, you need to make decisions. Otherwise, you can't get anything done in life.
Or things will happen for you.
That's like Merle.
Yeah.
You'll have a Merle come in, and he'll make his mind up for you.
He'll knock me out and take me to the governor.
And then Merle and Michonne are...
have a heart-to-heart.
Basically, they're walking because there's no vehicle.
Yeah. I think this is the longest we've ever seen between the prison and the governor and Woodbury. Every other time is always like real quick. It's like 5 minutes and they're there.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're walking. So.
Yeah, but then the other half, they're driving.
Mm-hmm.
Seems it's just like a straight shot. You know what I'm saying? Like, I see the prison on one side and the Woodbury on the other side and just one long road in between.
That's how it feels like. Well, whenever the editors or whatever, the directors feel like, oh, you should instantly be arriving at Woodbury, it happens. And if not, if there's some stuff that needs to happen in between, then it happens.
Yeah, they have a detour off into like a junkyard or detour off into a field, like with Andrea. I think that's like the biggest arc we've seen between two areas. And Merle basically says that he thinks that this doing this will let him, you know, be closer with his brother.
Mm-hmm.
Will let his brother accept him and buy more time with his brother.
He says if he pulls it off, all will be forgotten.
Exactly.
Forgiven.
Like if the governor really stops, doesn't attack them, then, you know, he'll be the hero of the day. I think he's thinking.
I think he's doing it for Daryl.
Yeah, he's doing it for Daryl. But I kind of want to think, I want to believe that he's kind of doing it to gain kind of like some respect within the group. You know what I'm saying? A little bit of likability. I really do feel like he wants to be forgiven by those people, although he'll never admit it. Maybe he doesn't even know it himself. But I feel like he wants to be part of that group because he sees how, you know, tight-knit it is.
Well, I think he's doing it for Daryl in the sense that he knows Daryl is not going to leave prison. He wants to be that group. So he wants to make things easier, nicer for Daryl.
Nicer for Daryl, nicer for himself.
For Daryl. I think he's doing it for Daryl.
Yeah, doing it for Daryl, but...
So that Daryl can keep his family or community or whatever he's discovered there, found.
Oh, yeah.
Keep it intact. Mm-hmm. So in other words, he's going to go take care of the governor situation any way he can so that Daryl can be...
happy.
Unaffected, yeah. And
kind of like a brother kind of thing.
He's looking out for him. Like, yeah, okay, fine. You want to stay at the prison? Okay, I'm going to help you stay at the prison. I'm going to take care of things for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what he's doing. Honestly, I think that's what the bottom line is. Now, did he think that it would end the way it did? I don't think so. But we'll see that.
But Michonne knows he can crack. She can crack him.
You think so?
Yeah, because she's like totally calm about the situation, first of all. And she doesn't believe that it's all Rick. And she's kind of doesn't really believe that Rick would do that.
Because
he didn't. And Merle did instead.
And I'm surprised that Michonne is so chill, actually. Aren't you? Because Michonne is usually...
I thought she would be like the first one to be like, oh my God, Rick did this. I should have never trusted him.
Not only Rick, but Merle. I mean, she's not fighting him at all. She's just going along with it. You know what I'm saying?
She knows him enough to know that she has at least she's going to try and do this peacefully. Try to break him, I think. Because later on, we can tell that she says that, I know you're not this person. You know what I'm saying? Because remember that part where she says, you say you can handle the burden of this. You can carry the weight, but real evil people like the governor are light as a feather. They don't carry anything.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really, really, important.
Prophetic or poetic.
Poetic, yeah.
Whatever.
It's true because crazy people don't care that they're crazy. I mean, they don't know that they're crazy.
Or,
psycho,
like murderers.
Yeah,
like,
they don't feel guilt. They have no conscience.
No, they just do it and they just move on.
And the fact that Merle said he'll deal with the guilt.
No, because she asked him, you know, how many people have you killed?
Mm-hmm.
And he says 16, and you know, I feel the weight of it on me or whatever or something like that.
Yeah, so he's just like any other regular man feeling the weight of that. And then I'm thinking, doesn't Merle already kind of know the governor well enough to know that he's not going to just leave the prison alone? Because remember what he did with those soldiers? He wiped them out.
Well, he doesn't care about Michonne, that's the thing, right? He just wants the whole situation to... I know what you're saying, but I guess he's just trying, just like Rick, you know, trying his
best. No, but we know he's lying.
Yeah.
But don't you think Merle knows that?
I don't know what he thinks. I have no idea. Like you said at the beginning, not even Merle knows why he does the things he does. So how are we supposed to know?
Why does he think this will help him with his brother? He knows why he's doing this.
He's a man of impulse. You know, he's like, okay, fine. You know, maybe this will work. You know, let me...
just go for it?
Yeah, he just went for
it. Even till the very end.
So let's go through the scene with Michonne and Merle all the way to the end.
And then we'll come back and fill in. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, okay, let me just find my notes here. Anyway.
So they find this car and...
it actually works. And he's trying to hotwire it.
Yeah. He hotwires and the alarm goes off.
Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh my God, car alarms suck in the apocalypse. They can either work with you or work against you. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they never work with you.
Unless you're trying to distract them.
Oh, that's true. But not when you're inside the car with the alarm.
No, sir. And I'm like, great, here we go.
No, and on top of that, Michonne's tied up.
Exactly. But we can see that Michonne can handle herself pretty well because she used that wire to advantage here. You know what I'm saying?
That was a good kill.
Mm-hmm.
That was a nice
clean cut.
Wrapping the... wire around the neck and around the pole,
decapitating the walker like nobody's business. Props to her. That's the sound effect of a prop.
Two fists pounding each other.
Yeah. And after they get into the car, Michonne brings up again another punch at him, saying, oh, so you're kind of like the trash man now, huh? Taking out the trash, doing all the dirty work. And she basically says, you know, Merle, you could have a fresh start. You come in here, you're with the prison now, you could literally have a fresh start. But instead you decide to do this. And she says, do you think anybody will mourn you when you're dead? No one will mourn you, not even Daryl. That's how much you're hated right now, basically.
And he's like, yeah, you can't get under my skin. But she also says something about, you know, you're always doing the dirty work, taking out the trash, like you said. And Merle actually believes that that's his job.
That's his role in the apocalypse.
Yeah, to do the dirty work of other people.
That's why he's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is kind of odd.
Sad.
It's sad, yeah.
Or she said she respects Rick, and Daryl respects Rick in a way that Merle will never get from Daryl. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're trying to get the same level of respect that Daryl has for Rick, you're not going to get it, bottom line.
You know, what happens next was kind of strange to me, I think.
I think so, that's his character change, his climax for his character.
Well, you know, throughout this whole show, Merle has been Merle, and he has sticked to his character really closely. Like, he's been the racist, whatever. He's been the guy who just does the dirty work, whoever commands him to.
Violent.
I mean, he kidnapped Maggie and all that stuff. And now, just because, you know, Michonne was working her vocal magic.
I think this is coming from what she's observed, because she's a very good observer. And when you observe a lot, you learn a lot.
Yeah.
So she's basically taking all of her evidence, displaying it out there. You know what I'm saying? This is where it really comes in handy.
So she's making her case.
Yeah.
In court.
Uh-huh.
And she basically says one line, which kind of starts the whole ball rolling. She says,
yeah, we can go back. We can just go back. You don't have to do this. And then
he says, ain't happening. We can just go back.
He says, why can't we go back?
He says, I can't.
I can't. He needs to make sure Daryl is safe. He needs to do that for his brother. And when he realizes that he can't go through killing someone for him, you know what I'm saying? He says, the only thing I can do is kill the source of this problem. And I think that's what we discover later on. But right now we're like left to saying, why did he let her go? Because he let her go.
Yeah, he cut the straps on her arms and just said, go get out. I got some stuff I need to do, basically. You know, go back and get ready for what's coming next. I got something to do on my own here. But the thing is, I just found that uncharacteristic. I just think it's the writers, you know, making Merle into this guy who does the right thing, which is not, I think, is out of character for him. That's all I think.
You don't think that it's just his story progression? You don't think so? That's who he's become now?
I mean, it's, yeah, that they did it that way, but in real life, would he ever change? Like, would he ever do something like that? Like, let Michonne go and go in the next scene where he goes and sacrifices himself and all that stuff?
I think his sacrifice was more like a coward's way, almost. Like, he can't handle it. There's nowhere for him to go. I think, not a coward's way, but like, I feel like...
You think it was a suicide mission?
Yeah, I think he knew he was going to come back, and he was okay with it because he knew that he can't go back. He can't be good. There's no going back. Even though he wants to, he won't ever be able to.
I see. So instead of assimilating and becoming Mr. Nice Guy like Daryl, he's like...
It's like the end of the road for him. It's like nowhere else he can go.
I can't change. That's not who I am, and I can never be part of that. And I can never be part of the governor's team. So I can't be with these nice people, and I can't be with this evil people. So I don't belong anywhere. So I might as well just make a last stand and just, at least if I'm going to go down,
I'll go down
fighting and kill at least the governor and hopefully make Daryl's life easier, you know? So
his character's ended almost kind of how Shane ended. There was only one way to go.
Yeah. So in that respect, I'm buying it now. I'm okay now with it.
Yeah.
But I just don't like the idea of that, oh, redemption. He redeemed himself. No, not really.
No,
he didn't really redeem himself.
He had no choice.
Yeah. Yeah, really. I mean, he's still...
That's at least how we see it.
He's still a bastard, rotten bastard.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
But, you know, he's like, But it's kind of the fact that he helped out other people is kind of coincidental. Like, he was mainly looking out for Daryl.
Yeah.
And himself, to the point where he's like, well, I don't belong anymore. Because, like, he couldn't change, really.
Yeah.
And, he said that when he was back at the prison. He said, everybody looks at me like the devil. Like, how,
there's nothing I can change about that.
He's never going to be accepted.
Just like Glenn is like,
Glenn's never going to accept him.
Never.
If you think about it.
Maggie probably won't ever accept it either.
Nope. So... And a bunch of other
people. I knew if T-Dog was alive right now, he wouldn't accept it.
Hell no.
He's raised from the grave before that happens.
Hell no. That's why we played T-Dog on the beginning. To get back at Merle. So then what does he do?
So this is the part, and when I first saw this, I'm like, oh my God, he's actually going to kill himself already? Because he was in a car cranking up the music, mm-hmm. and the walkers were surrounding him. He has some whiskey. I'm like, oh my God, he's going to kill himself. He's just going to let the walkers break in and kill him. I thought that's what he's going to do. I thought that was the thing. He has to do something on his own. That's what I thought. But no.
Commit suicide.
Yeah, but no. He was actually rallying up the walkers to take him to the meetup place where the governor is supposed to take Michonne and release them kind of as a distraction to give Merle the upper hand while he attacks.
Which is a good idea.
Yeah. It's a good idea. It's a great idea.
That was a really good idea.
So as Merle's picking off the guys as they're distracted by the walkers, Martinez and the governor's there.
Alan's there.
Alan, Ben, and
some unknown people.
So this guy with long hair, man, his hair was awesome. His long mane got eaten, of course, but
long-haired person.
Whoosh, whoosh, yeah,
I looked it up on IMDb and all that, and apparently he was there in other episodes, but I've never seen him before.
I've never seen him before.
He was called the evil guy, bad guy.
Bad guy number one?
Yeah, whatever. but he apparently was around before, but I've just first time I've seen him.
Well,
it's like, hey, good long-haired dude. Oh, sorry, he got shot in the head by Merle.
Then we gotta go back and do a marathon and watch him again just for tribute.
Just to find out where he came from.
And what if there was like a story progression for him? Like literally, like every time he's in the background, he was like doing something. Let's say he just broke up with his girlfriend. He was in a fight with his girlfriend or something.
You know what they should do? They should have this other series.
A mini series?
A parallel of all the unknown people.
And like their story and what they think of everything that's going on.
They'd be like sitting around like, hey man, did you see this governor dude, what he did? Like,
he just took out the walker in the middle of the street in front of everybody.
Or like,
who does that?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. There's some black woman with a katana.
I know, you see them coming in the other day?
Some guy with
and like, you know that chick Andrea? She jumped the roof and tried to attack those kids, man. Man, psychopaths, man. We gotta get out of here.
What's going on with this place? It's gone to hell.
It's like, he has an eye patch now. You see the new trench coat? Where'd he get that trench coat from, man?
They should be like those two people on Saturday Night Live who say, yeah, yeah, she's fine. Yeah, we love her.
She's great.
But you know.
But you know, there was this one time, and we don't want to talk about it, but she's mean. Like, she yelled at him like, what are you doing? And we're like, what's going on?
And the governor came out and he's like, you people, you don't know what you're doing.
Just listen to me. I just want you to listen to me.
And I thought, what did we do? We didn't do anything. Like, he was such a nice guy.
What? Like, what?
Where is this coming from? Do anything. I mean, what did we do? Why is he yelling at us for? We gotta get out of this place. Anyway, yeah. So they should have this whole sideshow, which is all these secondary people that all of a sudden get killed left and right.
So yeah, you hear about Bob. Yeah, he died last week. Oh, man, so sad.
Yeah, he got shot by some guy.
It was his wife's birthday the other day. Man.
All these side stories, yeah. That would be hilarious.
That was good.
We see all these people. They're like...
And they come and go like flies, man. We want to know, what is the story with this person? You know
what
I'm
saying? Yeah, they should have their own show. Totally. Yeah.
But there wouldn't be anybody at the prison.
Yeah, because there's no... Yeah,
just the walkers.
It'd be mostly Woodbury people.
Or Laura's ghost.
Yeah. But actually, season 4 has lots of those people.
Yeah. I don't know if any of them is left, though.
Yeah, but...
Now I'm back on track.
So Merle goes there, and he hides up in this barn, this building, and he has...
Barn? No, building. This isn't the farm, Dad.
It looks like a farm. And he has his gun and he's,
picking off some people, and he has a perfect shot to shoot the governor. And I'm like, finally, someone's going to take a shot at the governor when they have the time. And then freaking Ben steps in right in and gets shot in the neck. And I'm like, oh my God.
Ben, again, this Ben guy.
Damn it, Ben. Your whole family's cursed.
Yep, Ben.
So Ben dies. That was one of the lesser, you know.
And then we see the governor. They get a jump on him. I can't remember how they did that.
Because someone saw, well, obviously, once you see people going down and their walker's not nearby yet, of course you're going to be like, okay, who's taking these people out? Mm-hmm. And they look around like, hey, look, there's someone. Martinez is like, hey, look, what's that? And then they're like, let's go get him. And then a walker comes in and attacks Merle. So that kind of like pushes him out of the little secret place he was in. Mm-hmm. And then right then he goes from inside attack to outside attack by the people. And then there's a governor's like, I'll take care of him. And then, you know, takes him back into the barn and has this all out brawl with him. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of really unfair because, you know, Merle was all disoriented and stuff.
Well, and also a walker attacked Merle too.
Yeah. So he was kind of like shaken up. And then this is like, it wasn't even the governor's point of view, but he was just so ruthless. He bit off two of Merle's fingers.
Yeah, that was
rough. Who does that?
That was rough.
That's like kind of breaking like fight code, man.
Because Merle's put his hand on the governor's face just to push him away, and somehow his fingers got in his mouth, and the governor's like,
just bit it, man.
He just bit down on it and just and spit it out.
It's like, now he only has three fingers.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like he loves the bloodlust. He loves it.
Governor?
Yeah.
Well, it comes back to the first scene of this episode where Merle says, you know, the governor says we should always use our knives to save bullets.
Oh, I didn't get that. Please explain to me.
Oh, you missed that part?
Yeah.
Well, that was very important, actually. An important line. Because the governor said, Merle said, you know, the governor used to say to us, oh, always use a knife whenever you can so you don't waste bullets. Mm-hmm. And then Merle said, you know, I think the real reason he said that, not for the bullets, because he loved the act of stabbing.
Oh.
He just liked the bloodlust, kind of like stabbing.
I didn't know what he was talking about.
Yeah.
I missed it. Yeah.
I think that's why, Merle is basically saying that's why he uses a knife, because he likes the thrill of it. He gets to enjoy the kill better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Sick and, man, man.
You know, that's another way of, you know, Merle can read people, right? So Merle knew exactly who he was dealing with.
Which is why I didn't understand why he thought that he would just give Michonne up and then everything would be honky-dory.
Yeah, that's why he didn't. He let her go. So
there was no other way this was going to end. The governor attacks Merle.
Yeah.
Shoots him or kind of stabs him. I don't know what he did before. And then he's like, I'm not begging. I'm not begging for mercy. And then the governor's like, no. And then shoots him.
Yeah, I'm not begging. I'm not going to beg. And he goes, no. No, you're not. I'm just going to kill you.
Boom. Yeah. And Daryl finds Michonne halfway between, because, you know, Michonne's on her way out and says, oh, yeah, he just let me go. Because Daryl's like, did you kill him? You killed him, huh? And he's like, no, he just let me go. And he's like,
see how low he thinks of Michonne? Come on, Daryl. Come on, Daryl.
Because he thinks that's how else is he going to do? Like, how else is she going to be here right now?
Yeah, exactly.
And then he goes after him, and I think he knows what he's going to do. I think he knows he's going to go after the governor. And he comes a little too late, and he finds the body of Merle.
So, you know, the scene is very emotional. What did you think of the scene?
I was heartbroken.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't as heartbroken as I was for, you know, Rick and Lori dying and stuff.
Yeah.
That was good. But this was kind of pretty close to that. I thought it was really surprising. I've never seen, you know, Daryl show this kind of emotion. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
he kind of resembled a little brother, like how a little brother would cry for their family, like they're like a family member, like, that's my brother.
Mm-hmm.
How I would cry. But like, there was also tinted with some anger, you know, because he kept pushing Merle away. Like, he didn't want to have to end him.
Well, yeah, he was pushing them away. That was kind of, well, yeah, because he's your brother, for crying out loud.
I know, it's hard. It's not like killing one of those walkers straight up. You actually knew this person. And I think it's really freaky when one of the people on the show turn into a walker, because it's like, man, we just saw you as a human and now you're this monster. Like, mm-hmm. it's kind of like you can separate when from humans to walkers, but when a human turns into a walker that you've known for a while during the apocalypse especially, it's really hard.
And We don't see that very often in this show.
I think there was only 4 times.
Well, there was Shane.
There was that girl, little girl. What's her name? I forgot her name. Carol's daughter.
Yeah, and then there was most people. They didn't let them turn. They just killed them before they turned.
Mm-hmm.
There was
what was the Andrea's sister?
There was Andrea's sister.
Amy.
So there's not that many instances.
I think my favorite was Shane.
Yeah, Shane.
He turned so fast.
Mm-hmm.
He's just so evil.
So it was a very emotional scene. Daryl was like pushing him away, and then eventually he was mad at the world.
Yeah, he was just angry, man. It's like, oh, why does this have to happen? You know, like, and it's really like you can't really get into fights with the people that you love in the apocalypse because you don't know if the next day that would be the last thing you ever said to them. Like, I hate you.
Yeah, because you never know what's going to happen next.
Exactly.
They could die.
It's not like, oh, if you're having a fight with someone and then you sleep on it and they wake up and like, oh, I'm sorry. Or like you hold the grudge for 3 months or hold a grudge for a year and the people are still alive, most likely. But like, if you hold a grudge for a year, most likely they're dead.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of adults that go through life now that they hold grudges for people for years, and then whenever they see them again, they kind of, that whole thing comes back to them again.
Yeah,
that whole grudge.
It's kind of like if you had a grudge on a friend for years that you're like old person now, and then they die, and then you feel bad. It's kind of like you don't have years to hold a grudge; they just die.
Yeah. So more things need to be said out in the open in the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. It's better to get to say everything you have to say and come clean to each other. Then just hold it there for a while and let it simmer and rot.
So that's the end of the end of Merle. And that was the closing scene for the whole episode. Let's go back and cover some
stuff
other
stuff that we skipped, especially with Glenn. Because this is also an important episode for Glenn. Because he goes to Herschel and he has the watch in his hand. And he said, you know, when you gave this to me, I didn't really know what it meant. But now I know what it meant. I know what it takes.
What does it mean?
I think it means like he knows what it takes to, you know, take care of Maggie or to be that person to Maggie. I don't know. I don't even remember.
It could mean that I know what this watch means, and that the reason why you gave it to me is because you thought I'd be the right man for.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm the one, the chosen one. I'm the chosen person that you wanted Maggie to marry. So that's why you gave me the
There's
watch.
There's no choice. I mean, who else is out there? No.
Exactly. You have much choice. Everyone's dead. But so, lesson to all the geeks out there.
In a zombie apocalypse, there is a possibility. You can
hook up with a girl. I think that's what Glenn meant, is that...
I want to marry Maggie. And Herschel really said without hesitation, like, you have my blessing, son. And... it's still kind of, it's weird to have that kind of, you know, that keep that old, I really find it's nice to keep that old thing where you have to ask for their blessing, even
ask for your hand in marriage.
Yeah. Even in the apocalypse, you know, where it's like, there's no way you could actually have a real wedding, but just the act of, you know, asking for permission to marry someone is, I think that's really nice.
You
and
know,
he's
come
like,
to think of it, was there a wedding?
No, there wasn't.
Not even, we have never seen one yet.
No, he married her the same episode.
Oh, that's it? That was the wedding?
Yeah.
He gave her the ring and that's it? They're married now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. So he's like, it might not even last the week. You know, we don't want no wedding because, you know, it might not even last a week. You don't got time to plan for a wedding, Dad. Let's have our wedding in the spring and then your bride is dead by like winter. Like, come on. And then, he goes and finds a ring.
How?
He finds a walker, chops her fingers off, cleans the ring, gives it to Maggie. That's the ring process now.
That was a, it was pretty routine. Like, he's like, oh, Rick has called us over for a meeting. But before that, I have something to talk to you about. And he takes her hand, puts the ring in her hand, closes it. And she goes, I do. Or what did
she
say?
She says, yes.
Yes. And that's it.
And I feel like that's the way, I feel like that's how weddings are going to be for the rest of the apocalypse. Because there's one thing they don't talk to you about, like, how are, like, celebrations going to be celebrated in the apocalypse? I think marriage is going to be like
that.
Well,
I think a cool birthday cake would be, like, get a walker head and put it on the table and put candles on this head.
Or, like, no. I have a good one. You have a walker head, you put dynamite in it, and then, you know, you gotta it's like, happy birthday, and you shoot the head, it blows up.
Yes, birthday parties will never be the same.
You know what I'm saying? And like your bar mitzvah would be like, I don't know, zombie killing spree.
So no time for wedding, basically.
That was the wedding.
That was the wedding.
In front of all the walkers.
All the walkers.
And I think that was it for that. That was the only side thing. Oh, yeah. And then there's the talk that Rick has with the whole group after he realizes that, you know, I don't want to kill Michonne. He realizes that he tells the group that what the plan was to kill Michonne and give her up, basically. And he said that it was never his call to make, and that he apologizes for keeping that from them, and realizes that this can't be a rictatorship anymore.
And he didn't actually use those words, well, but yeah.
He basically said that. I still, like, when I think about when he first, you know, when we first coined that term, I thought he said it in the show, but he didn't, right?
What?
He said this, he didn't say this is a rictatorship, right? Did he?
No.
Okay.
This is the fans made up those words.
But it seems like he would say that. I don't know. Because he said this isn't a democracy anymore. He said that.
Oh, that's what, and he referenced that event in his speech.
Said that one night before we came here after the farm.
It can't be like that.
It can't be like that anymore. We have to vote. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah, basically, it's not my call.
It should never be my call. And he says we can stay and fight or we can go.
And one line is, I couldn't sacrifice one of us for the greater good because we are the greater good.
Mm-hmm. That was deep.
It's like you're cannibalizing yourself.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's deep. Write that down.
You don't want to cannibalize yourself. You don't want to, you know, eat yourself. Yeah, it's like,
that's not good.
I'm hungry. I'm going to eat my arm off. Well, you know,
that defeats, you can't. You can't. That defeats the purpose. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, so I changed my mind, but it was too late. Because now Daryl's after, you know, after Merle, trying to find Michonne, and now we don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
So we don't have a cell phone.
This is life and death. Now you, how you live, how you die, it's not up to me. I'm not your governor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not your governor.
I'm not your governor, dude. But if he did tell the group what he was going to do with Michonne, first of all, it would be like what Dale had to do with the whole kid. Remember, back at the farm? And they're like, we can't execute him just because we think he's a threat. You know what I'm saying? It'll be something like that where I have like a whole group kind of fight argument where they split up the group and stuff. And then,
yeah, but this is a turning point for the show. And we'll see this all play out in season 4, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what he's saying is actually,
he's going to stick with it.
It's real. Things are getting real now. So let's get into some trivia and some background.
You know I got to say that.
Yes, you know, you like saying that. We should have...
We should add some music to that. Make it a button on their little dial there and be like, now time for some boop trivia. I have some echo.
Yes.
So the first bit of trivia here, do you mind if I read it?
Go ahead.
This episode is very similar to Better Angels, where Shane tries to kill Rick and fails, which in this case, Merle tries to kill the governor and also fails and gets killed, while both becoming walkers in the process and also getting put down by someone different to the person that killed them. The first time, in this case, the governor kills Merle alive, kills Merle, and Daryl kills
Merle zombie.
Zombified. Yeah.
So it's kind of similar to that scene.
Yeah.
So it's kind of similar. Yeah,
that is shockingly similar. It should be noted that both characters were killed an episode before the season finale.
Don't use that voice on me. When Merle attracts the walkers to the meeting point, you know where he blasted the music?
Yeah.
It's kind of the same as what the governor did by releasing the walkers into the prison. Well, basically, not with the music. What I'm saying is that...
Oh, yeah. Get so them distracted.
Merle, yeah, Merle used the walkers to distract the governor.
Just like the governor used the walkers to distract them.
At the prison. So another trivia thing is, you know how Glenn cut off 2 fingers from the walker to get the wedding ring?
Yeah, the governor bit off 2 fingers.
From Merle.
Merle, yeah.
And
this episode, surprisingly, marks the time that Daryl cried. The second time Daryl has cried in the series.
So you said that you've never seen Daryl cry before, but according to this trivia bit,
it says tell it to the frogs when he, Rick, Glenn, and T-Dog found Merle's bloody hand on the rooftop. He was crying?
Do you think Daryl was crying when he found Merle's hand?
I think he was just pissed off.
No.
Was he crying?
We'll have to go back and...
Is this a real fact? Where are you getting this from? Wikipedia?
Don't criticize my sources, please.
I am the person saying trivia, so it better be trivia, okay? So this is the segment where we talk and reflect on the 2 characters, Merle and Daryl.
Thank you, Jasmine, for that.
You're welcome.
And, you know, Merle was interviewed in this magazine, and...
It's a really good magazine.
It's a really good magazine. It's called The Walking Dead, the official magazine. I'm sure you can just Google it, find it. It's published by Skybound, which is the same company that publishes the actual Walking Dead comic series. So they have better access to the actors and everything and behind the scenes. So it's kind of cool.
That's been approved by AMC so that everything is straight from them.
It's more Robert Kirkman. There's a lot of Robert Kirkman interviews in this magazine.
Yeah, it's all the first one was him, and then
every second issue is like him interviewing, and he had a lot of influence on the character. So one thing we have to note is that Daryl and Merle are brand new characters that are only on the show. They have never showed up in the comic book series.
What?
So
I knew Daryl was new, but I didn't know Merle was new too.
Yeah, because they're brothers, so the relationship thing.
Oh, I didn't know they were not in the book.
Yeah. He says, Daryl said, Norman Reedus says, I had a definite direction I wanted to go with Daryl, and the writers helped me do that.
That's cool, writing a new character into the whole world, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and he says, I was imagining how it would be like. Merle is racist, he takes drugs, but he's your big brother. There's a part of Daryl that will always look up to Merle and want to be like him. As Daryl's gotten older, I imagine he wouldn't want to be under the thumb of his big brother anymore. So when that influence was gone, I never wanted Daryl to take drugs or say racist comments. So Daryl's the nice guy. he talks about one time where he actually told the writers to change something and they did. For example, he says there was an early draft of the script set after finding Sophia in the barn where Daryl was taking drugs. I got the script and spoke with Glenn Mazzara and the writers, and I was like, can we please change that? I don't want to take drugs at all. I want to grow up and not be like my brother. I wanted to be embarrassing for me to grow up like that. And now that I wasn't under Merle's influence, I hope that Daryl would become the main... would become the man that he wanted to be in the first place. So basically Merle was suppressing a lot of things that, or wasn't allowing Daryl to be the real him.
Yeah.
Be himself.
And do you have anything from Merle's interview?
Well, as far as Merle and who is played by Michael Rooker, he basically revealed that the character, Merle went away in season one, right? And nobody knew if Merle was going to come back.
Yeah.
So kind of throughout season two, like we all, and half of season three, we all kind of made this image, this mental image of who Merle is and what he's been doing and all this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the audience kind of built up this character without Merle having to do it, without him having to do anything.
Because he mentions a couple times throughout the season.
Yeah, because Daryl would mention, about how Merle has a stash and everything of drugs and all this stuff.
And then Daryl had that illusion.
Right.
Down in the quarry.
Yeah. But they never told Michael Rooker that he would be back. They never really led on to that.
And so most of his character kind of thing was set for him already.
And another thing Michael Rooker said in this article was, protecting your kin is a big thing for Merle. It motivates all of his actions, negative, positive, violent, nonviolent, accepting or non-accepting, everything is motivated by the relationship between him and his brother. His whole thrust in life right now is about getting back with his brother, protecting his brother, hanging out with him. Anyone who stands in the way of that goal is pretty much an enemy. It's very complicated and difficult because there are bonds that are going to be broken. Daryl has made allegiances to these other people. He has a connection to them, and Merle does not. Merle doesn't give a beep about them. Merle only cares about his brother, and that's it, plain and simple. In a way, he's still living in the past. Merle wants his brother to be the brother he was before the apocalypse, but Daryl's not that person any longer. So that causes disappointment, conflicts, hurt feelings, all that kind of stuff. All of that is in any sibling relationship. So a sibling relationship in the apocalypse, in our situation, it's going to be a little more upfront. So yeah, that kind of talks about how Merle really, how Merle has become different than Daryl.
Yeah, and how much he really cares about him.
How they become so different, but they care about each other still, regardless of their differences.
And because of Merle and Daryl, it kind of makes me think about my relationship with my brother. I mean, obviously, I'm not a drug addict and all that and stuff.
Really?
Dad, come on. And I don't know. It's just weird. I can't really see myself and my brother in the apocalypse together. But I guess because he's so much bigger than me, but he's younger than me, I feel like I'd be protective of him, but more on a mental, emotionally level. He'd be on like more of a physical level. I think we'd be, make a good group, you know, like I'll be the brains and he'll be the muscle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You would figure out how to get out of a apocalypse, like a zombie situation, and he'd kind of make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Or like we'll plan the next hit spot to get some supplies and he'll, you know, carry it out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think you guys would make a good zombie apocalypse team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what we kind of figure out every day. How could we be a good
zombie exactly. apocalypse We'd team? Be like, for those of you who don't know these characters, but Tyrese and what's her name? His sister.
Oh, Sasha.
Sasha. We'd be like that.
Well, they are in season 3. They're in the they're in Woodbury right now.
Oh, yeah.
Tyrese.
Sasha is the older one.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like what we are. Like, he's bigger than me, you know? He looks like the older one, but he's not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So overall, how'd you like this episode?
I was indifferent to it. Because I really care for Merle.
Really?
I really don't like Merle. I'm being honest here. You want my honest opinion or do you want my sugarcoat opinion?
I want the honest truth.
Okay. Yeah, my honest truth. I was pretty indifferent. It was a good episode. I liked it. It was necessary. But I mean, so far as loving the characters, don't really care for Daryl or Merle. But I did like the ending, Daryl's expression.
You liked Daryl's cry face?
Yeah, I know you were laughing at it.
Well, for me, I liked Merle in a weird way. I like kind of the bad character, like the evil characters,
mm-hmm.
and the bad apples.
I'm telling you right now, my favorite evil character who's never going to pass that is Shane. So I'm just saying.
Shane?
Yeah.
And he wasn't necessarily evil. He was just
psychotic.
Misguided.
Yeah. That's what I like about him. Just like I like Loki. Like he's like the anti-hero. You know, not really even an anti-hero. He's more like a anti-everything.
But Anti-Thor.
But you could still feel his pain. Like you could still sympathize with him. And that was Loki, kind of like a way.
I like Loki too because he's real. I mean, he has even though he doesn't, he has emotions. I mean, he shows his, like, you know what I mean? Like, I like the character. I like characters that see through other people.
Yeah.
See who they really are and kind of.
And Loki sees that through people.
And are sarcastic about things.
Yeah, that's why I like Loki. But I like
Thor,
Shane.
Thor
is like your average, you know.
I'm like the superhero. I'm going to crush you. I'm going to save you.
And has no real depth. Yeah. But Loki has depth because he's been adopted, and then he find out he's an adopted, and he's not even human. He's an alien. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's Asgardian. He's not even that. He's like freaking man.
I can see them making a whole movie around Loki.
I want them to. I don't know why it hasn't happened yet. Like, Loki's, you know, mischievous adventures. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, they should make a movie around Loki.
Because he has a lot of story
to him. Just like they did, like, with Wolverine and stuff.
Yeah, like, have a little spinoff on all, like, his origins and stuff.
Yeah.
But did you know that, you know how, like, fun fact, if you like Marvel movies, buckle up. Did you know that, you know how Asgardians live for, like, thousands of years? Like, up to, like, 1,000 years?
Okay.
Technically, it's just like dog years. If you're calculating Asgardian years to human years, Loki is 17 years old in human years.
Really?
Yeah. So technically, we're the same age, okay? And technically, it wouldn't be totally weird if we got together. Just saying.
Wow, that's a stretch.
so that's saying that, like, Natalie Portman is dating a 17-year-old because Thor is probably the same age as Loki.
Yeah, if they're the same age, yeah, roughly.
But they both look like adults.
That's weird.
Isn't that weird?
Yes, it is. So other than that, you're saying that you didn't really like the character of Merle.
No, I was indifferent to him. I thought he was necessary, and I liked the relationship between Daryl, but other than that, I thought he was useless.
Useless.
He was doomed.
Well, you will get a chance to tell this to Michael Rooker's face, because we're going to see him at... No,
I'm
we're not.
Say, oh, we're no? Oh.
The Wizard World.
Oh, okay.
We're going to the local Sacramento Wizard World.
Yeah, we're at the Lever Bunker.
It's in March.
All the way
and actually, Michael Rooker is going to be there, and Norman Reedus
John Bernthal.
Well, we've seen Norman Reedus already, so we don't care, really.
But we'll just be seeing, like, an old friend.
We should go talk to him and say, hey, where are the people from Walker Stockton?
Did you listen to our podcast?
Yes, did you listen to our podcast?
If you don't, here's a new business card.
A refreshed business card. on real business card paper.
I told you, I'm telling the audience this, I told my dad that when he showed me the new business cards, kind of reminded me of American Psycho, because there was a part where all the businessmen would compare business cards. They all looked exactly the same. It was just made with like different shades of white and different kind of fonts and stuff. And they would take it so seriously. It's like, oh yeah, check out this business card. Oh yeah, it's made in italic to brown paper. I don't know, like recycled paper. And they're like, oh. And people get so offended when their card was like overshadowed by another one. They'd be like, oh, that's nice, Michael. That's really nice. You know,
it's
really
so funny. People were comparing their
business cards
to seeing whose is better.
Yeah. I thought that was hilarious.
I don't remember that movie. I gotta watch it. American Psycho?
Yeah, it's my favorite.
You must really like that movie because the background on your computer is the American Psycho.
Christian Bale. With his blood on his face. He's like, oh! Like,
with blood on his face and his mouth wide open.
And his eyes looking crazy.
And you've tiled it all along your screen. So it's not just one of his face. There's like 100 of him. How can you study
and
with that?
It's a white background.
How can you study with that face looking at you with blood?
I just make it right back and be like, yes, Christian, yes.
I don't know how you can focus on your homework with that evil laughing.
Well, it's not constantly up. I have windows up that are covering it.
I don't know. How can you focus with that? It's like, I'd be drawn into his evil eyes every day. I'd be like, I'd become a psycho if I saw that.
Oh, goodness. I love it. It's hilarious.
Well, I think we have to end this episode.
Aww.
It's been fun, Jasmine.
It's been fun. This is the only time we actually talk to each other.
Yes. Not true.
Well, we've come to the end of our episode. Thank you all for listening to this episode. If you like what you hear, please share this with your friends. We appreciate any feedback you might have. We really do appreciate it. We want stalkers. We're begging for them.
You want stalkers?
You can send email feedback to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. And as always, this is Jasmine.
And this is Michael.
Stay alive.